Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a good summer. Summer seems to be winding down. Won't be long till we're into fall, and as we get into fall, we get into fall sports, and the fall sport that I really love is football, particularly high school football. There's just nothing better than coming together with seeing teams come together, and particularly seeing community come together. And watch football games, and been doing play-by-play for high school football in Columbus, Indiana for the last 26 or 27 years and have seen it evolve. And one of the things that I've seen is when the two high school teams in Columbus get together, you get like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people together, and just to watch high school football, and that's a lot of fun. And when you have a high school football game, you have to have somebody that's in control. You have to have somebody that's an official. And we have with us today a guy that I have a huge amount of respect for. I watched him play basketball when he was in high school at Columbus North, and he's going on to become one of the premier officials in the state of Indiana. His name is Jason Ferguson, and Jason and I have been friends for a long time, and I guess it's been a couple of years ago now, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I heard that Jason had a very serious illness, and I and a number of friends began to pray for him, and Jason just had a remarkable turnaround, and that's what our story is about today, not just about someone who is heavily involved in the world of sports, and by the way, officials, basketball and football, and maybe even baseball, I'm not sure, but basketball and football officials throughout the state of Indiana look at Jason Ferguson as not just being an official with a great story, but he's a great official. He's gotten a number of rewards. He's had a chance to do some state championships, and he's really a good official. But more important than that, he's a great guy. And he loves the Lord, and that's what's really important. So we will take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Jason Ferguson, the state official. He is an official football and basketball official here in the state of Indiana. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome back once again to Face to Face. Our guest today is a person that I consider a very good friend of mine, Jason Ferguson, one of the top high school officials in the state of Indiana in football, basketball, and volleyball. In fact, he is the 2016 winner of the Roy Gardner Award. Roy Gardner Award. Yes, Jason, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
Tell me about the Roy Gardner Award. What is that?
Well, it's Indiana Basketball Coaches Association, the IBCA, headed up by Steve Witte, their current president. Other folks like Pat McKee and other coaches, they pick their top official each year, so it's kind of a group of ex-coaches, ex-administrators that decide who is worthy of getting this award. Roy Gardner was a principal and administrator and over the years, and it's kind of a honorary, I guess, award for the best boys basketball official. They have one similar type award for the girls' side, but this is the boys' side. You know, I officiate both, but this is the boys' side, and so I'm very honored to get it. It's kind of a nice thing when your peers, you know, like my other official friends, think you do a good job, but to know that the coaches think you do a good job, you know, kind of the people you work for, that's pretty special.
Pretty awesome. As officials go, you're actually pretty young. You've only been officiating 21 years. Does it surprise you that you have been able to rise this fast through the ranks?
Well, you know, I started out, I did some college and kind of decided that that was too much travel, the family, and I have four boys, four kids, and my wife. I didn't want to be away from it that, so I decided to stick it out at the high school level. A little surprised. I mean, I think the opportunities are a lot greater nowadays with four classes of basketball, and there's three officials on the floor each game. Where used to be two. So there's a little bit more opportunity. But, you know, I played. I've coached. administrated a little bit with the church basketball leagues and stuff I've been a part of. So obviously know the game. My dad played. I mean, my kids play. I'm around the game. Obviously, growing up in Indiana, you're kind of a part of the game. So I think I kind of had a good basis when I got started in officiating, but I worked very hard at it. Camps, summertime, you know, off season, you know, basketball's year round in the state of Indiana, as you know.
Yeah. One thing I know is that when you want to be a good basketball official, you do everywhere. You travel. I know some guys that are on the NCAA level and they're doing FIBA basketball. They're doing,
sure.
They're doing everything, Olympics.
Yep.
You've done a lot of games in basketball, as you say, including already you've done two boys state championships. You did the 1A game in 2013. You did the 4A state championship game this year.
Yep.
Is there a difference being on the big stage as compared to like a Friday night game in some small venue somewhere?
Sure. I mean, obviously you look up and see 18,000 people there like you did last week. That's a little bit different. But yeah, I remember one of the first games I ever did at Newcastle, there were 10,000 people there. So it just depends on where you go. I mean, there's still some gyms. I remember going to Rockville one night, sometimes Cloverdale, couple little small gyms at Medora, some little places like that, that even though they're not a very big gym, the people come out. The only difference with the arenas like Bankers Life, you lose that gymnasium feeling. You know, it is an arena. And I watched last night the NCAA final game, and I look out and I see this big, huge area between the floor and the table and the crowds. I still like those gyms. I still like seeing the backboards, a few rows right behind there, and then a brick wall or a gymnastics center like a good old Memorial Gymnasium. You know, those gymnasiums, the sound's better. The crowds seem to kind of be around you a little bit better. But the big arena, obviously, when you get to that level and you know you've made it, it's pretty good, too, when you look up and see 18,000 people.
What's your secret? I mean, there are guys that have been officiating for 30 years and they've never done a boys championship game. What's your secret?
I have a credo. It's obviously worked for me. I try to be a little bit of an official first, or a lot of an official first, knowing the rules, knowing the positioning, the mechanics. But then I try to be a little bit of a player, a dad, a mom, a coach. I try to look at all angles when I'm out there. And obviously you don't have time to sit down and think about that for a foul call or an out-of-bounds call. But what I mean by that is I try to take a little bit of those other parts of the game, the administrative side, the coaching side, and understanding the game, instead of just being that black and white guy calling the rules the way they're supposed to be called on paper. You know, obviously having played, I know a little bit. I remember my dad very, very vividly saying you ought to be an official because all you're doing out there is griping at the officials when you played. So I kind of took that to heart when I stopped playing. I thought, you know, he's right a little bit. I need to look at all sides of it. So the coach, the player, the mom, the dad, the fan, and roll that into one out there on the floor. And it's obviously
been worked for
me.
Now, you've done football, too.
Sure.
You didn't play football.
I didn't.
And
only up through the
football,
eighth grade.
Football's a lot different. What brought you into football?
Well, in Indiana, you know, obviously football has gotten much more popular the last 20 years. I mean, the Colts have certainly taken to that success. But a lot of the officials that I did basketball with did baseball and football. And my wife told me I couldn't do three sports, so I've picked one outdoor sport and football. I've always loved football. I mean, I played up through the eighth and ninth grade. I had to make a choice when I was in high school to play. So I know the game. I've watched the game, you know, college and pro level. And, again, there's a lot of mechanics and positioning and rules. Obviously, you know, you got to know the rules. You can't miss a rule on a Friday night. You just can't do it. But the positioning and the mechanics and understanding what to call, what not to call, I've gleaned on a lot of the guys on my crew. All four of the guys on my crew played football. And at a high level on a couple of them. So I try to be that player there too, you know, the coach, the fan, the mom, the dad. It's much more removed from the game. I mean, it's a little bit different in basketball. Everybody knows the rules in Indiana.
Yep.
Football, you can still kind of get away with a little bit on Friday night.
Well, you've done a lot of girls' games too, including you've done a ton of sectionals and regionals.
Yep.
Is it different doing girls' games than doing guys' games?
Well, you know, when I first started, I kind of feared doing the girls because I was one to tend to let them play. And I kind of felt like, you know, I might get in trouble at the girls' level. And there were some times that got me into that. But I'd say the girls' game, and my wife played, I became a real fan of the women's game and the girls' game. Fundamentally speaking, is a better game of basketball. The physicality is not there, obviously, in the play above the rim. But when you watch girls, those that are well coached, the picking, the back cutting, the ball handling, the turnovers just aren't there. Some of the game, the shooting is better. And I kind of became a fan of that. Officiating, I officiated women's college when I first started doing college basketball. The fundamentals of the game was better to me. It really was. And if you're a student of the game and you watch, guys do a lot more one-on-one on the guy's side. You know, the physicality and the athleticism kind of takes over. But the girls' game is a very good game. And I kind of made that my niche for a while. I hope to get to the state championship on the girls' side.
Now, you've done a couple semi-states.
Right. So I'm close. I can get there next year. So we'll hope to see if I get there.
All right. Jason Ferguson is our guest. He's one of the top officials in the state of Indiana. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about Jason personally. So don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Jason Ferguson, who we've talked about has had a number of successes, and he, in fact, is the 2016 winner of the Roy Gardner Award, which is the top official given out by the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. Jason, you hit a speed bump in 2014, in May of 2014, just as you're sailing along doing everything, right, God blessing you in the way that it should, you were diagnosed with bone cancer. Yeah. Tell me about when you found out you had cancer and what that was all about.
Well, obviously a big letdown to me personally. I mean, it kind of took me by surprise. I'd been having some physical problems, some bone aches and some things. I went to my family doctor and he said, "Hey man, you've got metastatic bone cancer." And I said, "What the heck is that?" So, you know, I had no idea, no cancer in my family, no real issue. And in the past, my health had always been good. But I found out it was stemmed from multiple myeloma, which is a plasma cell membrane cancer. And, you know, I just took it on. I mean, obviously, wasn't the time, the place, but who gets cancer any good place or time, you know, in their life? And it's what God put in front of me, and it was what I had to fight.
How old were you when you got the cancer?
I was 41, so it was pretty tough. I think looking back, I think my age and my overall health and the good shape that I was in was probably a blessing that I was able to fight it. You know, chemo and radiation and stem cell transplants aren't easy. I can't imagine. God bless those people that do it at 65, 70 years old, which is the majority of the people that had that type of cancer that I had, that typically get that type of cancer. But I, you know, my wife, my family, everybody around me, family and friends, church friends, they all, you know, told me the same thing. You fight it, give it 110% like you've given everything else, and you'll beat it.
Yeah, and unbelievably, you beat it. You got a stem cell transplant. Right. In May was when you were diagnosed. You didn't miss a single basketball game.
Right.
And you even got into some late football games.
Sure did.
How did your treatment affect you, like your football game? You're coming back that first game or so. Well, how did you do that physically?
Football being an outdoor sport, it was tough. I mean, I was bundled up. I was bald. I didn't have any hair. You know, I lost my hair like most people do from chemo. And I had lost some weight. But I had a bicycle, stationary bicycle at home. And I did my push-ups and set-ups there at the bedside. And, you know, I was off work prior to this for 3 months. So, obviously, you just rest a lot. You know, a lot of chicken soups and Sprites and crackers later. Didn't eat some of the meals that I had previously. I was a pretty good eater. So, I missed out on my hamburgers and french fries. But, you know, God brought me through it, and you know, my wife and family, my mom and dad, my wife's family, I mean, all of them made meals for me. They They watched after me, and it was just a lot of convalescence sitting at home, you know, reading my Bible, watching old-time TV programs, and a lot of good sports shows.
How does Jesus Christ fit into your life?
Sure. Yeah, he's a central part of it. I mean, no doubt. Grew up here in Columbus at the Free Methodist Church and just was given a good background. And, you know, like I told you earlier, we had talked, I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough, you know, but those are things that all of us should do more. And, you know, we try to spend a week in the week, an hour in our SALT group or life group at church studying, an hour at church service, and then an hour doing something else for God, whether that be praying, helping somebody mow the grass, you know, going down the street and picking up sticks for the neighbors, whatever that service is. And we've always tried to stick to that. 3 hours to God's not enough in a week. I mean, you know, you work 40 hours, you sleep 8 hours a day, you do your daily things with the kids and driving back and forth to work. So I've always tried to stick to that 3 hours. I know that's not enough, but Jesus certainly a big part of my life, always has been. I know God's right there in my heart. I'm born again Christian like everybody else. I still sin. You know, I'm a sinner like the rest of us, but every day I try to lay my head down before I go to bed and thank God for what he's given me and hope that I know I'll be in heaven someday.
Was there a time in your life when you, I know at the Free Methodist Church, I've known a lot of your pastors.
Yeah.
Was there a time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart?
Yeah. I mean, obviously growing up, I was kind of told by my mom and grandma that I had to, or they were going to beat me. And I think they still beat me anyway. But I do remember one church camp going down to the front and, it wasn't, you know, it was an outdoor like Vespers place, but 12 or 13 years old and just said, you know, hey, God, I know I've been listening to all this stuff at church, but I want to make this real. And I don't remember the service or the pastor, but I remember when I came back to church, it was just different. And, you know, I was at that age where age of understanding kind of changed, you know, too, from being a kid to a young man. And obviously, once I got back to my church family, they embraced me for that. And, you know, it doesn't happen the same for every person, you know. Age is kind of a fundamentally different thing across the board, right, for people. But that age of understanding that God was calling on me to do this, and I did it.
Did you feel like God is the one that brought you through your chemo? I mean, I assume you were praying quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do, but I also think those godly people that were around me were just as much of that. I mean, I pray to God and pray to God to ask him to make me better. And in that prayer, though, I also always said, if it's your will, you know, a lot of times our prayers are what we want up front. And that's not always God's will. So we got to accept what God's will. Very fortunate in my case that my will and God's will aligned. And, you know, if it happens differently again, you know, I've been told all along it could come back, do this again, and I'll approach it with the same
love. Did you feel as though you were going to be healed?
Yeah, I did.
Or did you feel as though maybe I'm done? Maybe I'm never going to get back on the court again?
Well, I felt I was going to be healed when I first started, and then it got tougher as I went along. And, you know, obviously doubt enters in your mind. And I was okay with if I didn't ever get back on the court, I was okay if I didn't ever get back to work. But what I wasn't okay with are accepting defeat, you know, just that final defeat at age 41. I couldn't go through that yet. So I knew God would heal me. I just didn't think it would be as quickly as it was. I mean, I'm very blessed that the time frame that it happened, a lot of people have went down this road that didn't get back as quickly as I did. And, you know, a lot of people enter that second or third bout of cancer right away or get other forms of cancer from this type of cancer. And, you know, I was just very fortunate that didn't happen to me.
Your story's out there. In fact, when I was watching the IHSAA state finals, they focused on you, which is very unusual. And Jerry Baker and the others were talking about, here's a guy that shouldn't be on the court. Do you feel a responsibility now to share what Jesus Christ has done in your life as a result of where you're at in your life?
And that's one thing Brendan and I have talked about. You know, it took a while for me to get comfortable with that. I didn't want to talk about it a lot at the start because I just wanted to put it away. You know, it's a tough thing to deal with. I don't want to go back there, but I know there's others out there who are going through that very same thing. And they may not be 41 and basketball officials or from Indiana or, you know, whatever, work at Cummins or, you know, white middle-class man like me. So there's those differences, right? But in the end, the one similarity is God heals. And that's what I want everybody to understand from this.
You've done some college. Would you like to move on to a different level? I mean, you've hit the heights in high school.
Sure.
What's next?
You know, I don't know. I sat down last week and kind of went over my season goals. I have talked to a couple of people about maybe doing some of the NBDL or some of the other league, that Midwest league that's coming up. I think I'm going to go to camp this summer and try to outreach and look to see if that's out there. I always actually – 20 years ago when I first started officiating, I said I wanted to be in the NBA. Kind of took a sidestep from that, and then obviously with my health the last couple of years took a sidestep from that. But it's going to take a lot more training. I got to get in better shape. You know, I'm not 28 anymore or 38 even. So I got an off season ahead of me, and football start back, you know, in August. Won't be long coming up, but my crew worked the state finals in 2013. We'd like to get back to there next year.
Yeah.
2017, it's kind of a four-year rotation. So basketball side, I just want to keep doing the high school stuff, but if I can move on from there this summer, we'll see.
Jason, thanks for being with us. We're just about out of time. I know that you have a favorite verse. It's a yep. very popular verse. Tell me what your verse is.
It's Philippians 4:13, and it goes, I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
And you've certainly been able to do that. Jason, it's good to see you again, and I've had the privilege of calling your games when yep. you played in high school.
Right.
And I think I've had the privilege of maybe doing a game or two when you're on the floor in the stripes.
Sure have, yeah.
So it's been great to see that. Jason Ferguson, one of the top officials in the state of Indiana. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Just a great time to spend time with Jason Ferguson, and so upbeat, just always has a smile on his face, and you would think an official could be somebody that's just really kind of stern and kind of hard-nosed, but Jason just knows how to talk to coaches and knows how to talk to players and knows how to keep a lid on things in high school games, and of course that can be rather tough, but Jason does a fantastic job of it. And one of the things that I noticed, we did a game the first week of the season between Columbus East and Bloomington North, and I did not recognize who the officials were, but I recognized that they were having a prayer at the center of the field before they grabbed their whistles and went to work, and learned later that it was Jason, and didn't have a chance to talk to him. Of course, I'm in the play-by-play booth. He's down on the field, or sometimes during basketball games, I'll have a chance to see him, and we get maybe 10 seconds together. But for the most part, he's doing his job, and I'm doing mine, and we don't have a chance to talk. But when we're away from the court or away from the field, then we have a great time together. So, Jason Ferguson, what a great guy. Want to let you know that we still have up on our website our Christian athletes, our all-star baseball team for this year. Hope you'll check that out. Getting down to where the playoffs matter. The Los Angeles Dodgers are having a fantastic year, are they not? And one of the guys that's been real key to that is our friend Matt Hergis, who is a pitching coach at Oklahoma City. And if you look at that Los Angeles Dodgers pitching, why, you can see that Matt's had a tremendous role in that down in the minors. And the Dodgers just doing a tremendous job, as well as a number of other teams. And, of course, there's some teams that are pretty well out of the race now. And as we get into September, what they're going to be doing is looking at their young staff, looking at their young players for possibly next year. But on our website, we have our Christian All-Stars, and we hope that you'll continue to check that out. And check out the other things that we have there also, and we'll try to keep you updated as to what's going on in the sports world as far as the Christian faith. And we know that in this world where, boy, we are really very divisive right now, and there's just really a lot of anger. One of the places where you can get away from that a little bit is at our website. So check out some of our stories and some of the good things that are going on in the world. Well, and again, our website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we hope to check that out. Facetofaceradio.com, that's where we're at. Well, as we close for you today, I want to take you to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. Here's our verse for the day. This says, God made him who had no sin, that being Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I still believe the answer to this world's problems are Jesus Christ. And there's a handful of athletes out there who are saying that. And, of course, there's a lot of blowback on that, a lot of people who don't want to go that route. But I still believe that if we would just allow Jesus to work in our lives, all of us, no matter who we are, if we would just allow Jesus to work in our lives, this world would be a much better place. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.